Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is an historic time.
This is going to be a multi-year fight.
Why is it taking so long to get a screening test?
It is not a hoax. It is real.
Something that we have never experienced before.
Wash hands, wash hands, wash hands.
I mean, you're the scientist. You're going to have to tell me.
Welcome, welcome to Science Rules Coronavirus Edition. I'm your host, Bill Nye, and this is the series that brings you the latest analysis and the science of this pandemic. We want to keep you informed, prepared, and calm. We are all in this together, my friends. Saturday will mark 1 month of the Biden administration, and the numbers make it at least seem somewhat or even very different from a month ago. The daily rate of new COVID-19 cases in the U.S. has almost halved. And while we're still inching toward the very grim, may I say creepy, milestone of 500,000 deaths, the daily rate of new deaths has been decreasing lately as well. Obviously, we can't attribute all of that to President Biden's actions, but intuitively, it sure seems like his policies and the new people he's put in place have had some effect. I mean, don't we think? So here to help us figure out what Biden and his people have done and how effective their coronavirus response has been so far is Apoorva Mandavilli. She's a science and global health reporter for the New York Times. Returning to the show, Apoorva Mandavilli, welcome back to Science Rules Coronavirus Edition. May I call you Apoorva?
Of course, Bill. And it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me.
What has Biden done?
I may actually have to disagree with you a little bit on whether it's really the Biden administration that has caused these rates to drop at all.
Well, as we say, correlation is not causation. So bring it on.
That is correct. It really has not been long enough that they have been in power for it to have any sort of appreciable impact on the numbers. So I think this downward trend that we're seeing probably has more to do with some other factors. There were some states that put in more restrictions once they saw that the rates were really going up quite dramatically.
What states were those?
You know, some states in the Midwest, they actually sort of tightened things a little bit. Rhode Island
North
had
Dakota.
A pause, for example. So some states did these short-term things and tried to sort of get ahead a little bit. And I think even those little things made a difference. I think people themselves saw the numbers and, you know, may have worn masks more or just taken more precautions. And also we saw, I think, a natural lull after the holidays. We probably saw a spike. And then, you know, once the holidays were done, Thanksgiving and Christmas both, and people went back sort of hunkering down for the winter, I think that probably also had an impact. So I'm not sure how much this really has to do with the Biden administration's great policy.
It just hasn't been enough time. It's just too quick.
That's right.
With that said, vaccines, 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 right? What's going on? Why is it taking so long to get vaccines?
Supply. It's all about the supply. It just takes time to make vaccines at this scale. We've never really done it at this scale for worldwide distribution before. And, you know, the companies, I think, are doing what they can and going as fast as they can. But there are a lot of other things that you need for vaccine production, not just the ingredients in the vaccine. You need things, really mundane things like glass vials and boxes and all kinds of stuff that are also in short supply. So, you know, without having all of those things, there's just, you know, bottlenecks of supply. And then, you know, we've also seen a lot of problems with distribution. We've seen some real problems actually getting shots into arms, but we knew that was going to get better. It has gotten better. I think we're sort of averaging about 1.3 million a day. And, you know, President Biden said he was going to get 100 million doses into 100 million people within his first 100 days. And I think that's going to happen. I don't know that that was really such an ambitious goal. They sort of projected it like it was, but I think that everybody kind of expected that that would happen once the initial kinks got worked out.
How about one vaccine versus another? The Pfizer versus Moderna versus the Johnson & Johnson versus AstraZeneca.
Yeah, I think Pfizer and Moderna are just about, you know, equal. They're both excellent vaccines. The technology is basically the same, and they've performed really, really well in the trials. I think J&J is excellent as well. AstraZeneca, I'm not 100% on. I think some of their testing has been a little strange. The way they gave some of the doses in their clinical trials was a little strange. And also now we're seeing some early and somewhat concerning data that maybe doesn't work as well against the variant that's been circulating in South Africa. So those are all things that give me a little pause in endorsing the AstraZeneca vaccine outright. But I think the others are really great. Novavax also.
When you're talking about AstraZeneca, what is it that you found?
Well, let me see if I can really narrow that down for you. So in one of the trials, they gave a half dose instead of a full dose as the first dose. And it wasn't
just
clear
to see what would happen.
Well, I think it was a mistake, which they did not say at first. They said they gave out a half dose and that performed better than the full dose, which everybody was kind of confused by. And then it turned out actually, no, it was a mistake. So that already sort of undermines your confidence a little bit. And then, you know, the efficacy of the vaccine was around 70-some percent as opposed to 90-some for the Pfizer and Moderna and J&J. And so that also is a little bit less. And then really it's this news about South Africa. I mean, it's early and the data that I just mentioned are from a pretty small number. So I don't think we're ready to be in despair yet, but it seems like just like the Pfizer and Moderna, this vaccine's a little less effective against the variant in South Africa, but because it's starting at a lower level, it might actually be more of a problem for the AstraZeneca vaccine.
So is there anything the current administration, the new administration, Biden, are there plans being made to adjust the vaccine or do specific testings on the variants with the different RNA and this and that?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that they, I think, are doing relatively well. One thing they've done is really ramped up the surveillance for these variants. So the U.S. was doing extremely little in terms of actually looking at the virus that was circulating and seeing which variants were coming up in the United States. And since the Biden administration has come into power, they've sort of scaled that up tenfold. They have plans to get up to as much as, you know, 7,000 samples a week, which is still not what we need, but it's better than what we've had.
When you say surveillance, what's involved in surveilling, if I can use that verb, a virus variant?
So basically they look at, you know, people who've tested positive, they take the sample and they look at which version of the virus actually infected those people. So they have to sequence the virus.
With some amazing reagents and some amazing gene sequencing machine. Takes about a day. Is that how long it takes?
It might even take less than that. Sequencing is actually not at all an issue these days. It's more actually getting the sample from wherever these people got tested to the sequencing centers. And that's been the bottleneck.
When somebody identifies a variant, a gene sequence that's a little different from the other, what do they do to the vaccine? Do they just see what happens, or is there some anticipatory quality to it?
Yeah, they don't do anything yet. They haven't done anything yet. At the moment, it's just testing the current vaccines that we have against these variants and seeing, do they still work against these new variants as they did against the original one that they were developed for?
And so do they?
They do so far, yes. Well, the Pfizer and Moderna, the AstraZeneca it's not quite clear that they work so well against the South African one.
So does the administration have the right people in place to do this, to identify the variants and maybe adjust the vaccine and maybe adjust everything about distribution?
Yeah, the FDA actually held a press conference a few days ago saying they have plans now that they're putting together to think ahead, which is amazing. It's like what we expect government to do, but haven't seen that much of in recent years. But they are actually thinking ahead to what they need to do in order to tweak the vaccines, what the approval process might look like for a slightly different vaccine. Would they need to do, you know, a full clinical trial, or could it be a much smaller testing process, what it would take for the companies to actually change the vaccine. So they're thinking through all those things and asking expert scientists for their opinion. And then they will, you know, roll out these plans for how to deal with a variant that maybe ends up not being responsive to vaccines at all.
Is the administration doing anything about anti-vaxxers writ large?
I think they have some public communication campaigns. And I would say overall, that's probably the one thing that the Biden administration is doing fairly well on. They're communicating pretty much regularly. I mean, they, you know, the CDC is having press conferences three times a week. The White House is having press conferences regularly. And, you know, they're actually answering questions pretty regularly. So I think all of that helps. And they've got these campaigns now out to talk about the vaccine, have, you know, celebrities get vaccinated in front of everybody. Those kinds of things will all help. But you're absolutely right that, you know, I've seen on social media, for example, people saying, oh, look, just as the, you know, the vaccines are out now, they're talking about variants. It's always going to be something. They're just always going to want us in this situation where they want to control us and pump us full of chemicals and things like that. So it does actually feed into those conspiracy theories, unfortunately.
What about washing your hands, wearing a mask? Is that still the thing?
Those are still the thing, except we actually have to do them. I mean, before, you know, the virus, I think, was contagious, but we were able to sort of get around with one mask, maybe skip washing your hands every once in a while because the contamination from surfaces was not as big a concern. But now with this much more contagious variants, there's just no room for us to take any shortcuts or not be, you know, absolutely 100% rigorous in all the precautions. It's the same precautions. We just have to really follow them very carefully. For example, maybe wearing two masks instead of one, or wearing, you know, one of the better quality masks, like a KF94.
What's a KF94?
That's a Korean version of the N95, KN95 kind of mask. Very high quality.
So is the administration working to get a mask mandate beyond federal properties? Are they trying to get states on board with this, with mask mandates?
Yeah, I mean, they are. You know, as you know, the mask mandate went into effect pretty much immediately. That was one of the first things they did, the federal property. But states are a bit of a tougher sell. I mean, there are a lot of states that have never really wanted to have mask mandates, and I'm not sure they'll ever get on board. But I think they're trying to get at it by covering as much territory as they can. So it's not just federal property, but it's public transportation, it's airplanes, it's buses, all kinds of places. And now that there are fines of up to $1,500. So I think they're trying to do what they can to cover as much ground as they can without governors actually having to get on board.
Is it different from the previous administration?
Absolutely. I mean, in the previous administration, you know, President Trump basically said many times that he didn't necessarily think that masks were important. He didn't wear one himself. So this is a very different message that we're receiving.
Okay, what about kids? You know, this whole thing, should we reopen schools? Does it affect most kids differently and so on?
Yeah, this is one of those things that I get nervous talking about because it makes people extremely upset, no matter what you say. I could say anything and somebody's going to get upset.
I'm upset by anything. I can't believe you said anything.
Yeah, it's exactly like that on Twitter, in fact. How dare you say anything? So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I was saying, these variants don't behave any differently than the virus always has. So we can still reopen schools as long as community transmission stays low and the schools put into place all of the precautions we know work. masks and distancing and hand hygiene and ventilation, most importantly, open windows, or, you know, holding the classes outdoors if they can, you know, all those things will help. But we've seen, I think, enough evidence now that if schools do all those things, plus maybe regular testing, and if they, if the community transmission is not at crazy levels, it is possible to open schools. And I think the CDC is fully going to push for that, for K through 12, in fact, not even just primary and middle school, which is what we had been talking about before.
What about personal protection? You made reference to masks. What about getting masks distributed and so on?
Yeah, so the Biden administration has said they will, you know, invoke the Defense Production Act and scale up production and distribution of all kinds of personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, face shields. We haven't seen that in effect yet, but hopefully that will happen relatively soon and they will actually get these things out to people.
We'll be back right after this.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You had a headline a couple weeks ago, I guess. The future of the coronavirus, an annoying childhood infection? I'm of a certain age. I was allowed to get chicken pox. I was allowed to get measles because this is how you got through it as a kid. You'd get infected and then you remained immune for a long, long time. You know, now I'm of an age where I'm getting a booster, a shingles booster. And then I'm also of an age, and I remember very well, when I got the polio vaccine. It was when I was in kindergarten, or before I got to kindergarten, with sugar cube. But now everybody gets the polio. So in other words, it works both ways. There's some that you just get over, and some you've got to have a vaccine for. Is this in between?
I think I'm younger than you, Bill, but I remember both of those things as well. Maybe because I grew up in India, I got a polio vaccine, and I got chickenpox without the vaccine. But the difference, I think, here is this is a new virus, right? We've never seen this before. So this is not like having chickenpox as a kid. This is like having chickenpox as an adult, your body never having seen chickenpox before. And chickenpox in an adult is no joke. So the reason that this virus has been so dangerous and so deadly is because we've had a whole bunch of adults reacting to a brand new virus. And that does not go well. The idea behind that story is that at some point, every adult will have had either the infection or will have been vaccinated. And it'll only be kids left, you know, new kids who are born every year who will not have seen this virus before. But as we know, this virus is not such a big deal for kids. Doesn't mean it doesn't affect any of them, but you know, it's much, much, much less dangerous for them. And so that's the future. At some point, we will not have any more adults for whom this virus is new. They may get infected again, but it'll be a second or third or fourth infection, which is not as serious and severe.
Oh, is that proven for sure? The second infection is not as severe?
Yeah, that's pretty much, we've seen a lot of reinfections, enough to say that in the vast majority of cases, they are milder. And it makes sense. That's how the immune system works.
But what about the developing world? You were talking about these vaccines have to be produced for everyone on Earth. What about the developing world?
Yeah, that is a really sad state of affairs. I mean, we're sort of seeing, you know, what happened during the AIDS epidemic, where the rich countries all had access to the wonderful, you know, antiretroviral drugs, and the countries in Africa and Asia that were actually pretty hit hard by the epidemic did not have access to the drugs until some generic manufacturers got involved. And we're sort of seeing that same scenario play out. We've had all these rich countries buy up all the vaccines. And there are many, many countries where they are estimating that there will be no vaccines available till 2022. So that's not a great situation, because we've seen now that these variants come up when a lot of people get infected anywhere in the world. This is a very global, it's a pandemic. So no matter where these variants come up, they will come to the United States. So it's really in everybody's best interest to vaccinate the entire world. There is a global partnership called COVAX that is led by the WHO and these two other global health organizations, Gavi and CEPI. And so the Biden administration has said that it will join COVAX, which is a change from the Trump administration's stance. And hopefully there will be some movement towards making sure that some of these countries do get vaccines. But at the moment, it is not a very good picture.
If you were going to give a grade to the Biden administration about how well they're doing, what grade would you give them?
I'd give them a B. I'm a tough grader.
Well, not, you know, but if you're in grad school, a B minus is the lowest you're going to give anybody. Is that what you mean? Like a grudging B?
No. I mean, I think they're doing okay, but I think they could be doing better. And I'll give you one example of how I think they are not doing as well as they could be. I don't know if this is well known, but all the journalists know this. The Obama administration was very secretive, and we were worried that the Biden administration would be similar. And so far, I can't say that it's seeming very different. They play their cards very close to their chest, and they are not as communicative as really journalists would like them to be.
So would you say, no kidding, was the Trump administration more forthcoming?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think they're better than, slightly better than the Trump administration. But
was there a good administration in your experience?
You know, it hasn't been really that open since probably Clinton. I think it's starting with the Bush administration, things really started to get clamped down, and it's progressively gotten worse, regardless of whether the president is Republican or Democrat. And that's been a very troubling trend.
Why is that? Not why is it troubling, but why is the trend trending?
I think some of it is that these policies get grandfathered in. You know, when a new administration comes in, for example, you know, at the CDC and the HHS, the Health and Human Services Department, there are these manuals for how they're supposed to deal with press requests. And I think unless an administration really sort of pointedly changes those get grandfathered in. And they're just these policies. Like every time a request comes in, it has to go through 8 levels of clearance before they can release any information. So that has not been great. And, you know, they promised that there would be no political interference. And yet, you know, the CDC director said in a press conference that she didn't think that teachers all needed to be vaccinated for schools to reopen. But then the White House press secretary said, oh, no, the CDC director was speaking in her personal capacity.
Yeah, back to so-called walking it back. Yeah,
exactly. So that did not look or sound or feel good. So, you know, I'm reserving judgment until, you know, I can see that they are actually significantly better.
Is the Biden administration paying more attention to scientists?
Yes, that is absolutely true. I think they have some really good people they're listening to. I think they're getting some excellent advice, and they are doing a lot of the right things.
Is there anything that you're particularly concerned about in the next few weeks or months?
I think it's really comes down to the variants for me. The FDA has a plan, but I think they need that plan to move a little faster. because already we've seen that the AstraZeneca vaccine might not be so good against this South African variant. So I think we have to be much more quick and ready to deal with new variants that come up. I think we need much better surveillance so that we can detect any new variants that are coming up much faster than we have been. Really, at this point, it's a race between the vaccine and the virus. And if we want the vaccine to win, we really need to have a much better handle on the variants.
You've got a whole bunch of articles waiting to be published, right?
I do.
And what can we watch for?
I have a story coming up on Rhode Island and what went wrong in that state, because they were actually doing quite well. And then they became the highest per capita for cases in December, and they've stayed really high since then. So why Rhode Island? What went wrong there? They are doing one interesting thing in Rhode Island, which is they are giving out the vaccine once they're done with over 75s and healthcare workers to neighborhoods populated almost entirely by multi-generational families of Latinos and Cape Verdeans, which is the immigrant communities in Rhode Island. So that's really interesting. And I don't know of any other state that's doing that, where they're actually prioritizing that over age, going down to age 65 and up.
So is there a problem in Rhode Island of anti-vaxxers or conspiracy theories and fake news and stuff like that? Do they ignore your reporting?
I don't think it's that. What I've found in my reporting is that it's a confluence of a lot of factors. It's things like a lot of immigrant families in a pretty small space. It's a lot of multi-generational poverty. It's a very small state, very dense state, second only to New Jersey. So there are a lot of things like that that have come together to make that state as high as it is.
And it's a lesson to all of us. When one community gets infected and the virus starts to mutate, it's dangerous for everyone. So thank you so much, Apoorva. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for walking us through this again, reemphasizing the fundamentals again. Wear a mask, wash your hands. This thing is dangerous. It's new to humankind, and we've all got to work together to deal with it. Everyone, my guest today has been Apoorva Mandavili. She is a science and global health reporter for the New York Times. Watch for her reporting. It is excellent. I am still Bill Nye, and my friends, this is still a pandemic, and we are still all in this together. And so more than ever, science rules, people. That's how we're going to get through this. And if you like Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. Helps us out, helps other people learn about the show, helps us know what you want to hear about. So thank you. Science Rules Coronavirus Edition is produced by Harry Huggins and Corey S. Powell. Our editor today is Tracy Samuelson. Our engineer is Luz Fleming, who also mixed this episode. Josephine Margarano is our executive producer. Special thanks to Casey Halford. And remember to Stitcher all around the world. Science Rules. Thank you, Apoorva. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Three more things. Wear a mask, get tested, and get a vaccine as soon as you're able. Any one of the vaccines.
Stitcher.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.